And that is a sign of a team that's becoming top level. I can't believe the transformation that's happening.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons in the background. Yes, that is James singing.
I ain't even sat down yet.
Nah, but you were singing, so I was hit record.
Oh, when the Spurs...
Are you playing this weekend?
Villa away. Villa away, 5:30 Saturday.
Yeah.
Down the pub. Can you, Spurs? Talk to me about the Bicege.
It's a shithole. What about it?
Talk to me about your Sunday.
But I won't be going back to Dubai out of choice, necessarily. Like, it's not my kind of
Did
holiday.
Did you go for work?
No, I was there for, like, it's a stopover on the way back. Breaks up. You can't fly from here directly to the Maldives. You need to stop somewhere. And that's one of the options that you have at stopover.
Oh.
So on the way back, we stopped there for 2 days to break up the journey, or 3 days, or whatever it was. But
you
yeah,
can't get a direct flight to the Maldives?
Not from here. Not from England, as far as I'm aware. So you either go Abu Dhabi, so I could have seen Man City and Sheikh Mansour. I could have gone Dubai, or I think you go via Singapore or Mumbai or whatever else. Anyway, the cheapest, easiest way is to go via Dubai, basically.
Okay.
Direct line. So that's why we stopped over on the way back. Yeah, it's just not my kind of place, mate, really. It's just very fake. It's overpriced. The thing is, it's very reliable. Like, you get great service everywhere you go. Our streets are clean. Everything's organized. It's very efficient and structured. But then it's a bit like soulless. You like a bit of shit on the streets and every now and then, and the rough and ready of it. But
you mean like Tottenham High Road?
Yeah, it's just at least got character to it. I don't like the character, the nature there of it. Yeah, I don't know how Russia are at war with Ukraine right now, because it felt like everyone that lives in that country was either in the Maldives or in Dubai. Like, honest to God, they can't travel around in Europe, right? So they've fled. Anyone with any money's not in Russia. Trust me, I'll tell you that right now. Everywhere. But yeah, Dubai is not the place for me, but it was a necessary stopover for a couple of days. Got to see a few friends, met a couple of, I don't think Jossie's a patron, but he's an FPLer, and I met Alex out there, which was fun, and managed to watch the game.
Well, I was more intrigued in the West Ham supporters club out there.
The Dubai Hammers. It was quite surprising. I mean, it's not surprising, because all the clubs have meet-up groups out there. Like, Jossie's in the Liverpool supporters club group and whatever. But I suppose the interesting thing when chatting to a handful of the guys there was I was surprised with how old everybody was. Okay. I suppose being that we're young, and any of my friends and all of that have moved to Dubai or whatever, you think that it's the kind of place where people in pre-marriage, or when they're young, free and can travel, will go and travel and live overseas. Actually, I think everybody there was in their 50s or 60s. I'm like, oh, this is the kind of thing where people have gone later in life to go and live there. Most of the people there had been there 5, 6, 7 years. I was blown away with, like, it felt like everybody there was coming back today or tomorrow. Least 6 or 7 of them are all coming back. Half of them were going to Lyon as well, and already got flights booked for Barcelona just in case and that kind of. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're out there, but they're the season ticket holders that are regularly coming back to all of the games because they can. So they're like all pretty hardcore fans from that kind of point of view. And it's a nice little environment. I mean, they've got a little pub space there. You'll have seen the photo or the video. And this is Dubai, right? So that little space, the service that you get in pubs out there, they put all of the flags and everything up, set the whole room up, then they take it all down, then they set it up every home game and not, and they just do that at no cost or whatever else. It was eye-opening to see that out there. I didn't really expect that from a kind of... I've never been to a supporters club overseas. Have you ever been anywhere? Nope. And been to a meetup of, like, I don't know, Tenerife Spurs?
I suppose in me, in my case as well, like,
home games you're always there, but
the only place I can think I've ever been to during a season is Ireland,
right?
So that's the only thing I can I can think. And even then, I never watched a Tottenham game. It was like during an international break or something like that. So I've never been outside of this country when Tottenham have played a league game.
Home or away. Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was a good laugh. And then obviously you just ended up having a few beers, met up with Alex, Jossie, another mate of mine was down there as well. So four or five of us. It felt almost, I'll be honest with you, we were drinking and chatting as much as I was watching the game. You probably wouldn't enjoy it in that way because you like to get into it. I was
Leave me the fuck alone, unless you're talking about the game.
But it was nice. It was nice to be in a little bit of a atmosphere and that kind of thing. So yeah, good fun to go and watch it. Although the game was dross, to be honest with you. So winning, I'll take my 3 points and move on to another home game. But that's three home wins on the bounce. Wolves, Villa, and Sevilla, Wolves, Villa, Everton. So four home wins on the bounce. And I think as we go into tomorrow, it's important to have that just winning mindset and winning mentality. And tomorrow's going to be a completely different game.
How big is it?
I mean, it's the first time we've been in Europe since quarterfinal since the 60s, isn't it? 60s, 70s?
Oh, slow.
It's ages. And in my lifetime, it must be the biggest game since the cup final against Liverpool. I don't think we've had a game bigger than that. It's the cup final against Liverpool was the only other game. So in 30 years of supporting West Ham, it's the second biggest game that we have played, I would say. So it's as big as that.
It's interesting. Kind of spoiler for tomorrow's Clash of Correspondence, which I'll have up for you guys later today. I'm talking with Chris, obviously, about the danger of the Lyon game a little bit being about, on paper, it's easier than Seville, which brings its own challenge. I mean, you're playing a team that's, 8th or 9th in France as opposed to a team that was 2nd in La Liga at the time that you played them.
Yeah. I don't... that's a very good point. And remind me, when we finish talking about this, to come back down to the Everton game. Because there's something in that Everton game that made me really think, right? I don't think that's a problem. I trust the players to really understand what the hell this is about. I trust them for that. Like, if you look at it, you know you can get... The likes of... I don't want to... shit on Man United, but I don't trust their players to get up for it when they need to get up for it. I do think I trust Moyes and the squad to get up for it when they need to get up for it. Sunday was we've got a much bigger game this week. Let's get through this game, pick up 3 points. And we did that. Antonio played well. Bowen was back to a bit of fitness. Johnson or Soufal should be back in at right back. Zouma did well and okay. It was fine. It wasn't anything special, but it was fine. So I trust the team not to underestimate Lyon, despite their league position, and not to get too carried away with it. We've got to get a job done, and I would love a 2 or 3 goal lead going into the away leg. I'm not worried about that. Now, the thing with the Everton game...
Is this a bit I'm meant to remind you?
Yeah. The thing with the Everton game... I don't need to do that now. We were favourites for the Everton game.
No shit. And so is everyone who plays Everton.
It's true. Home. But then I'm starting to get even more respect for the likes of City and Liverpool and so on. Because it was a game we were expected to win, and we did. But we just about got over the line, started through. The likes of City, Liverpool pretty much have to win every week. Regardless,
we discussed this with Johnny and Dan on Monday COTC.
And the efficiency and consistency and ruthlessness with which their team and players get up for it every week and put teams away is underestimated at how hard it must be to just have that ruthless, relentless mentality. I was like, fuck, we got to beat Everton now. I'm not bothered about this. I want to get onto Lyon now, right? And the players.
So what Chris said, he said the atmosphere was really flat on Sunday.
Not surprised, but it must be. But you don't get that from Liverpool and City and what have you. They roll over the teams they're supposed to beat with relatively ease most weeks. You can see it from their win-loss record. And seem to be able to... The players get themselves up for it. And Klopp and Guardiola create that. It doesn't matter if it's... Burnley away, which I think is it City or Burnley away, right? No, that was the last week. But
City just got beat Everton, Burnley, Liverpool just beat
City have just got Everton. But the way Like, they won't go into that Everton game accepting anything less than we're going to do these three.
City ain't got Everton.
Is it not Everton early kickoff? What's the early kickoff?
This United have got Everton at the weekend.
Sorry, United.
City and Liverpool play each other, mate.
Sorry, yeah.
I think they might be up for that one.
But yeah, but when I look at it as a West Ham fan, I'm like, okay, we've got to get up for Everton now and beat them and whatever else. And then I look at it and I'm like, these guys who've got much bigger things to play for, the ruthlessness with which they roll over these teams like Everton and lower half teams all the time, so hard. I've got so much credit to the managers for getting the teams.
It's what I've told you
so
about
on
this,
point.
This Thursday Sunday problem. Once you've been in it, you understand, because the fixtures, like, and with Everton's obviously a massive football club.
Yeah.
But trivially, for West Ham now, top four looks like it's probably needs a miracle.
Yeah. I mean, we've got six games.
You got seven
games.
You need to win at least six.
Looking at it, I think three wins and two draws is what we're good for. 11 points. And that takes us only to 62 points. That's not top four.
Nowhere near, mate.
Nah. I think we're good for 11 league points between now and the end of the season. That's all. And that's drawing against Chelsea and Liverpool, losing to City and winning the other three. Burnley, Norwich, Brighton.
Well, this
it's
my,
not great.
This is my kind of concern where
11 points only we're good for.
I want you to go out in Europe. And it's not even a West Ham dig.
No, I get it.
I'd rather you didn't win it. It's a bit like, can I be honest with you, it's a bit like, I discussed this when Wales got to the Euro semis. It's like, go on Wales, do well.
Don't win it.
Don't fucking win it though. Basically. Yeah, and I kind of I feel like that about it. But it's more the fact that you might play Barcelona twice and have Arsenal in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want. Because then, all of a sudden, one of your biggest games of the season becomes a, oh, it's Arsenal win between Barcelona twice. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then I'd fancy them to go and beat you if that's the case.
Yeah, and they comfortably beat us at their place in December. Like, it was there's a handful of games this season where I was particularly disappointed with the team. Leeds would be definitely one of them, and Arsenal's definitely one of them, where we just weren't at it, and they thoroughly beat us around Christmas.
Tottenham away?
Christmas. Yeah. I mean, the thing is with that was after Sevilla. Whereas the Arsenal game, we should have done better. So Arsenal on form, if we're not at it, we'll be able to comfortably beat us. So I understand that. With this Lyon game tomorrow, I can't lie that there's not nerves. There's definitely nerves going into it.
You ain't normal if you ain't got that, mate.
But the atmosphere is going to be big tomorrow. I think people go out early. I mean, the game sold out rapid. I got my Sevilla tickets in my own regular seats probably a week and a half after the deadline for season ticket holders to get their seats had passed, because there was a long gap from getting Sevilla to the actual match, whereas here there's been a tighter gap. And season ticket holders had until 11 a.m. the Tuesday before I went away to secure your own seat. And at 4 p.m. they opened it up that season ticket holders can buy extra seats, their mates and whatever else. And by 8 p.m. it was done, because they'd already set further deadlines. But by 8 p.m. it was done, because I think people realised that people ain't going to sit on their ass waiting this time around. We haven't got a long gap between the fixture being announced and the ticket. So it's going to be full. There's no doubt about it. And the atmosphere's going to be live. But I think people will get down early and probably get pissed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, why not? Sack off work on Friday, mate.
Nah, not gonna happen. I'm taking the boys again, right, this time. Well, I did only got to take one last time, but I'll take both this time round. Can you believe it? The last one he missed because of a guitar concert or some shit at school. The older one missed it, and then we're coming back and my wife's like, yeah, he's got a sleepover at a mate's on Thursday. I was like, no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. She's like, oh, why, what's happening? I go, he's going West Ham. She's like, oh, we'd had this sleepover, our sleepovers can be rearranged. He ain't going, so she cancelled it. And he's well up for it this Thursday. So, yeah, bring it on.
Good.
Bring it on. And then we've got, obviously, Burnley away Sunday lunchtime. Brentford away.
See, look, you don't even know your league fixtures.
Well, yeah. Brentford away. Burnley's obviously week after. Brentford away. And that's another dangerous one, because as the advance is, we'll find out on Talking Tactics this week. You've broken down what they did to Chelsea. If we're not at it, They can turn you over. They can do it. But if you gave me, this is this is bad though, isn't it? Because there's no...
You'd take a battering Sunday if you've been Leon. Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would.
And we don't get any trophies for getting into the semi-finals of Europe.
No, but I keep telling you this. And the guys...
Give me these European nights.
The guys would listen to the audiobook if they didn't know before the way I speak and stuff about glory.
Football's about glory.
It's not always about the pot of gold at the end of the trophy. It's about having the moments that you remember forever. That the Seville game doesn't leave you. The way the circumstance, the extra time, Yarmolenko scoring the goal. Like, you're never going to forget that shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you beat Barcelona, mate...
Yeah, but let's not get carried away with Barca. Because Leo, like, even Barca, like, thinking about it, like, I know... If we go through, I'm going to Barcelona. I probably won't get tickets, but I'm going to Barcelona for a day or two.
You have to go.
It's a couple of days, easy flight.
You have to go.
Yeah, yeah. I'd even fly to Madrid and get the train.
You will, by the way, be disappointed.
If I don't get tickets or if we lose? Or by the new camp?
All of it. No, I mean, my experience at Barcelona was terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I won't go to the stadium. I'm unlikely
to
get tickets.
Well, to be honest, you'd be better off getting a ticket in the Barcelona end rather than going West Ham. It's one of the safest places
quietly
to do it.
And...
No, don't even sit quietly.
Oh, okay.
Just fucking go for it, mate.
Mate, you're trying to get me killed.
Mate, honestly, if you get Barcelona, you take 20,000 out there, mate.
We will. There's no doubt about it.
We had them in the group stage in the Champions League. We had 5,000 official tickets. It was comfortably at least 10,000 Tottenham in the ground. I was in a group stage, mate.
Okay.
So yeah, your new camp is, I mean, it's certainly, as an away fan, is a huge letdown.
I've been once before.
Of all the places I've been overseas, that's the only one. This is disappointing. This isn't what I'd hoped it would be.
I sat in the lower tier and I felt like the covering.
Of course,
the upper tier.
You have been before.
I've been
you?
Once before. It really made it claustrophobic on the lower tier. Didn't really feel.
Now, you want to get yourself on the middle tier. And then just go and sit below the West Ham.
Somehow work out a way of
walking around. Yeah.
But we shall see. Let's not get carried away. But I know if we were to go through, for example, I'm definitely going to Barca.
And Barca was one of those rare European away games where I actually came out the ground happy. So it wasn't even a bad Tottenham experience. It was just a bad Camp Nou experience, unfortunately. Mainly because the police. That joke.
Yeah.
Bad.
So, yeah. We will, this time next week, we'll know whether we're going to go to the Lyon away game with a chance or whether we get dicked on. But I haven't even, to be honest with you...
So have you thought of booking flights to Barcelona?
Yeah.
Just do it, mate.
Nah.
You don't want to put the mockers on it, innit?
Nah.
I get that.
Nah, I can't do it. I haven't even looked at Lyon's...
But could you just go for a couple of days anyway, and if you lose?
Yeah, I could.
Just kind of a few days in Barcelona.
I might well do that.
You can go and watch Barcelona play Lyon.
I might take the missus for...
I'm imagining now that West Ham win and Frankfurt beat Barcelona.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to watch West Ham in Frankfurt
Barcelona. If Frankfurt-Lyon, fucking Barca's a good place to go away and hide, isn't it, really? but I haven't... Do you know what? I haven't spent much time looking at... how Lyon are getting on in the French league.
They're about eighth, aren't they? Ligue 1
standings. Lyon are ninth at the moment. Yeah. Matches. So most recent results, they beat Angers 3-2.
Oh, well pronounced, sir.
Angers.
Most of us would say Angers.
Angers. Angers 3-2. I don't know where Angers are in the table, but they're
Mickey Mouse, mate.
14th. So yeah, 3-2. They drew with Reims, obviously then Porto in the...
Reims feels like such a thing that a West Ham fan will say after you beat them.
Reims.
Oh, that's so Reims.
Stade Rennes beat them 4-2, but they beat Lorient 4-1.
Porto they knocked out?
Yeah, Porto.
I mean, that's a decent victory, isn't
1-0
it?
Away.
And they drew at home, I think.
1-1 at home. 1-1 at home. So they haven't conceded a lot of goals, but they drew with PSG a little while back in January. I don't know what that says about anything, but
possibly tells us more about PSG. Anyway, I wish you luck, sir.
Well, yeah, we shall see. I'm just thinking, like, who's danger in their squad?
I don't know enough about them. Forward's quite sought after, isn't he? His name's escaping me.
Dembele.
Is it David or something? David. Have they got David? They've got Tanguy, haven't they?
They've got Ndombele.
Tanguy's apparently been playing great.
They've got Moussa Dembele, Tino Kadaware, and Lenny Pinto forwards.
Nah, don't know them guys, sorry.
Lucas Paqueta.
I'm sure you'll know him by this time next week.
Awar sounds familiar.
Oh, Hossam Awar is very highly sought after, yeah.
Was it? Who wanted him? Arsenal?
Arsenal and Tottenham have both been linked to him in the past.
Supposed to be decent, isn't he?
I don't know. After this team, I don't watch French football, mate.
You know Ndombele?
It's farmer's leg, sorry.
Give me the Tottenham and Ndombele and I'll be happy. But Danea has played in... it was in the Dutch squad. I remember him from...
Belgian
squad from Fantasy.
Yeah.
Jerome Boateng. Obviously, he's aged a little bit now. Emerson Palmieri. Where was he? At Chelsea?
He's gone back to Chelsea now. He's not still there, yeah.
He's listed in their squad.
Or unlist him.
Yeah. SofaScore, sort it out.
I'm sure he's back at Chelsea. Oh, no, maybe he's not. They got Kennedy back, didn't they?
Okay.
So, actually, I think he is still there.
Yeah, we shall see. I think tomorrow is going to be just about making sure we get
you're
a
you're going to get knocked out by a Chelsea loanee and a Tottenham loanee, basically.
That would be disastrous. Yeah. You guys doing all right, though. Steadily. Now, you're now in the top four. Based on momentum, I don't know if it's... I think it's pretty even between you and Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, the projections are that probably both teams will finish on 68 points.
The big difference is goals.
Even on my fixture ticker, rating the difficulty left for both teams, I have them exactly the same, despite the fact Arsenal have a game in hand. So on the same points, difficulty remaining exactly the same. Yeah, I mean, it adds up, yeah.
I think the biggest difference right now is all about goals. Like, you'll score two or three or four goals every game. And I cannot see Arsenal doing that. I don't think United are anywhere close. Like, I think we should finish above United. I don't rate them at all.
I'm not worried about United. They've still got to go to Liverpool. They've still got to go to Arsenal. Still got to play Chelsea. At home. Yeah. I can't see United suddenly turning it on and winning seven of their games.
I think
left,
you've got a better run in than Arsenal. Like, I can't see myself not tripling up on Spurs in FPL from game week 34 on my wild card.
Or from now.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a definite great run in. Liverpool is the toughest game, and Arsenal's the one that it might ride on. Can you imagine that? Game week 36. Like that. This has to be one of the most significant North London derbies coming up.
Oh, yeah.
In years.
Yeah. Certainly from a financial perspective, massive. I don't think it would top the 15-16 2-2 draw in March. Both teams were going for the title then. So I know that's earlier in the season. I don't think you could put it as bigger than this because at that time that was being billed as not title decider. It's too early, but you know, two of the four teams that had a chance to win the league against each other. So I don't think it can be bigger than that. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping by the time the game comes round, we're 4 or 5 points ahead of them and can beat them to finish it off.
Yeah.
Is the situation I want to be in. I highly doubt that to be the situation. I mean, if you put us in the position now where you said, James, win your last three games, that would put you fourth. I mean, which would include the Arsenal game. Yeah, I would definitely take that with Burnley, Norwich at the last two.
Yeah. And I also trust Spurs not to, I'm going to almost use a phrase like be Spursy, but shit the bed. I think Arsenal are more prone right now because I think defensively, when you set up with three at the back, you're pretty decent and stable. Conte will get the guys really up for it and you'll be able to score goals and you've got better fixtures, which is probably the worst kind of thing to do is put you in the hot seat now.
There are... a few things that have changed dramatically over the last couple of months. I think we are now seeing the Antonio Conte Tottenham that many hoped, both Tottenham and neutral fans were hoping they were going to see. The first thing to go back to when he took over, when Nuno took over, fitness. The fitness levels of them players now are phenomenal. You know, even that's the biggest change in Doherty is the fitness, actually. The fact that he just keeps making it into the box. He's getting back defensively as well. The midfield two, Højbjerg and Bentancur, got a great relationship and understanding forming now. people talk about the two new signings in January, Kulusevski and Bentancur.
Yeah.
I think people have seem to be forgetting it. Like Kulusevski's still a baby, but mainly because he doesn't look like it. He's, what, 21? I mean, the scope for him to improve is massive. Apparently, Tottenham are going to just get him signed now, this summer, because it's 18-month loan, isn't it?
Oh, right. I thought it was until the end of the season, but you've got a option to buy, right?
18-month loan. It's mandatory purchase if we qualify for the Champions League in either season. I mean, Tottenham just want to negotiate.
You may as well just get it done. Well, stupid, isn't it? Because what if someone comes in and wants to bid higher? Can they take him off you?
Well, I guess in theory, yes.
So just get it done.
Get it done. But then Tottenham have got the mandatory agreement. So if we qualify for, probably not this summer, but if we didn't qualify for the Champions League in either year, and then Tottenham went to buy him at the end, then of course then it's a bidding race potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, if he keeps playing the way he is, we won't be talking about 25 to 35 million. It's a fucking steal, isn't it?
Yeah, take it.
Bentancur, I love him.
Bought him, but he's cheap, he was.
Bentancur's our player, yeah. 15, 20 million or something. Mm. Again, great signing. I love the fact that the ball is always out of his feet and he always wants to pass the ball forward. And he's having a brilliant impact on Højbjerg, who's doing similarly. Pierre-Emil Højbjerg has been absolutely brilliant for the last 5 or 6 games for Tottenham. I'm so pleased. I'm seeing a proper midfield player finally develop now.
He gets sent off at the weekend, I know.
Yeah, maybe. But it's not just the two January signings. It's free, basically, for Conte. Because Christian Romero's return has also had a dramatic impact on this team. Remember, he didn't play till that January period, and I spoke about 9 out of 10, 4 out of 10. He's 9 out of 10 every game at the moment. Again, he's having a major impact on I think he too has had a major impact on Doherty.
He's on loan as well, is he?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one. I saw today that Atalanta have got 63 players out on loan.
Two of them at you, Galina as well, apparently.
Yeah, two with us. I saw the combined value of them is apparently rated about 145 million euros. The reason I noticed, because someone said that Romero was worth 145 million euros, basically, i.e. Atalanta got 62 players out on loan that are worth nothing. Romero is beginning to look absolutely top level, top draw. And I mean to the extent that if he continues, you're talking about a player that could potentially be one of the best centre-backs in the world. That good. I still think he has brain fart moments in him. There's a problem with him defending set pieces. But, I mean, the way that kind of, if you function the right-hand side of the pitch for Tottenham with Romero back, Doherty's improvement, Kulusevski's introduction, this dramatic turnaround. Absolutely dramatic. And I love what I'm seeing at the moment. One of the things I never mentioned in the audiobook for those who listen to all of it, which is one of the things I'm reflecting on today, and I can't believe that at no point I ever mentioned it. I spoke a lot about Tottenham smelling blood. They'd score and then go and score another goal quite quickly. And obviously that happened a few times against Newcastle at the weekend, which felt a bit ironic. But also what that Tottenham team was really good at under Pochettino was taking a breather. And I never wrote about it in that whole book, and I don't know why. So what they'd do is they'd go and kill someone for 10 minutes, and you'd be like, fucking hell, this is tough work. But then Tottenham would take the breather with the ball. Mm. Just kill the game for 5 minutes. You'd be like, come on, keep the tempo going. You can't. Mm. Under that Pochettino team, the way it used to press and stuff, and it's very different now under Conte, but how hard they're having to work, you've got to take a breather sometimes. And they're learning that as well. They're learning that to keep the ball for 5 minutes and just sit, then get ready for kind of the next push of the next 5-10 minutes. And that is a sign of a team that's becoming top level. I can't believe the transformation that's happening. I genuinely am looking at every game at the moment thinking we're going to go and win. We're going to batter teams.
Yeah, I agree
with
you. I think I look at Spurs in the same way. I think the biggest thing for me is like, always like, to win games of football, first you've got to score more than the opposition. Can you score goals? Yes. Then you've got to concede less than they score. And you're much more stable right now. You seem much more stable defensively.
Romero.
And so that gives you a chance in any game. Job done. And you sprinkle in, like, someone hits a good bit of form, like Doherty and Kane, when he's at his best, is best strikers in the world. One of the best. We've got Benzema and Lewandowski.
If we don't suffer any injuries, and I think that's really important, and I'm talking right through the team, so I mean goalkeeper, Romero, and I know there's a few people criticising Hugo at the weekend. Yeah, of course he should have saved it, but goalkeeper's position, right? Hugo, Romero, Dyer, Davis, Bentancur, Højbjerg, and the front three. I've just named nine of the team, haven't I?
I was going to say, if our whole team stay fit, we'll be all right.
And to be honest, at the moment, you'd arguably put Doherty into that as well. I don't think it's as big a deal.
Teams at our level, in that fourth, fifth, down to eighth, don't have depth. Wolves don't have the depth. Arsenal behind the front 11 don't have great depth. We don't have great depth.
I think basically if the team stays fit, might as well call it the team, then I think we'll do it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and we said it when Adam was on for COTC, and he's going to come back on before their double in 33 as well. We spoke about that we thought there was a chance that Arsenal Tottenham might come down to who stayed fit. Mm-hmm. And obviously they've just lost Tierney, shit the bed. Party injured potentially as well, and that's just
massive,
just as big of a blow at the moment for them in terms of that midfield area, because he's really stepped up last couple of months, and I think that becomes the advantage us. They can feel the pressure of it, can't they? Sometimes it's about timing as well.
Yeah, when you're on the chase. I mean, for weeks we've all been saying Arsenal are going to get top four. So yeah, and then they go and lose. You've not lost for a little while, and suddenly the pressure's on.
But I do think. I think Arsenal, I mean, we discussed with Chris when I recorded with the guys last night that basically if Arsenal won five games, I think they've got nine left, eight or nine. I think it's
They've played one less.
I think they've got nine left and we got eight left. Mm-hmm. You've got seven left.
Yeah.
And we said, like, look, if Arsenal win five, obviously that's basically enough to rule West Ham out, even if you won, like, every game left, basically. And I do believe that Arsenal are well capable of winning sort of seven of their last nine or so.
But you've opened up a gap on goal difference now as well.
Well, it's a little bit over the top, people talking about this seven goal swing, which I guess is magnified at the moment by the fact that obviously the two teams are exactly level on points. And again, obviously, if you look at it and go Arsenal win their game in hand and then Tottenham beat Arsenal, then we'd be dead level, wouldn't we? And then goal difference becomes a factor for all the other games remaining. And Tottenham look like they've got more fixtures where they could go and destroy the opposition than Arsenal do. So, I mean, the turnaround, we've gone from minus one to what, plus 15 in eight game weeks. It's pretty impressive. You start levelling that out over a season, you're looking towards sort of plus 55, plus 60 goal difference over a season. That sort of goal difference is going to get you close to winning the league title. Ironically, in terms of next season, Tottenham might be better off without it because we are definitely 100% seeing the benefits right now of these 3 weeks and just going and playing and having a week to prepare tactically. He's honestly so spot on at the moment. If we were close to Chelsea, I'd fancy catching them. I think we're playing that well at the moment, but I'm pretty sure Chelsea will still do enough to finish third. I think it's only a shame that Arsenal, bar Monday, have actually been in their best form for a very long time and will be a very competitive rival for this spot. But I'm looking at us, and to go back to my reflection on the audio, but it's like one game at a time, but I expect us to go to Villa and win on Saturday.
Yep.
But it's a sticking game, as it was for Arsenal on Monday, where you don't turn up, you don't play 100%, they get the crowd up, it's a 5:30 kickoff, it can become a problem, but I got full confidence in us at the moment to go and do the job. And from the FPL perspective, guys, just get free and get on with it. Don't worry about which ones. We are, at the moment, the third best team in this league on form. I don't actually think there's an argument about that. It's the quality of what we're providing. I mean, by the end, Newcastle were lucky to get out only 5-1. Some of the chances we missed. The first 20 minutes of the second half is absolutely blistering. It's well to say, oh yeah, Newcastle collapsed. Yeah, Tottenham fucking made them collapse. And Newcastle, as I spoke about on the pod yesterday, started, I think, tactically really well. And then Tottenham have got the ability to evolve. And this, when Kane drops off and everybody just runs behind him, it's so offensive. There's a brilliant piece in The Athletic today. I think Charlie Eccleshire's written it about Tottenham's crossing.
Yeah.
Man at goals, Tottenham scoring with crosses. We've joked recently about own goals, haven't we? Being Tottenham's third highest goal scorer. It's not becoming coincidence. So what he's changed, and where I'm really impressed and excited at the moment is when Conte took over, I was very much of the belief that the idea that he was a defensive coach was incorrect. Like, he was nothing like Mourinho. I think people were looking at him as he's a winner, he'll do anything to win, therefore it's kind of defensive dour football. What I've watched the last couple of weeks is the best I've seen since the back end of 2018, this spell. And the sheer belief running through the football club. I said to you when we played you, you could feel like a sea change in the ground in terms of the fans getting behind the team and the atmosphere it's creating in the ground and stuff. We're just on a wave at the moment. And very quickly, one bad result changes it, right?
That's the problem.
We lost at home to Southampton. We lost at home to Wolves. We lost at Man United. We should never have lost at Man United. But even that, we played well that day. So we're not infallible. We're not indestructible. I think a couple of injuries and we could die on our fucking arse here. But at the moment, really strong position. It's a shame Ollie Skip's apparently had a setback. So I think he's going to sign a new contract this week, actually, which is great news. That's never in doubt anyway. But to have him as the first cover now for Bentancur and Højbjerg would be great. Højbjerg has stepped up to a level where Skip doesn't get automatically back in. And we spoke 4 or 5 weeks ago about Skip's record when he does and doesn't play for Tottenham and his importance and wanting to see him with Bentancur. Højbjerg stepped up so well. I'm so pleased. And with Doherty, so pleased. Because I don't want to be right about these players when I say they're shit. I want them to be good. I'm so pleased watching Matt Doherty at the moment.
Nice. Patrons, more Tottenham next week. And we might be out of Europe and we'll all have lost at the weekend. And you'll get a bit of misery once again, which is, I know what you're really want, bastards, but let's see.
I can't right see even if in. Tottenham lose at Villa on Saturday, I might dismantle the game and say it was poor or whatever. I can't see me coming here and losing the plot next week because I can see where this is going.
Yeah, I get that.
We're on the move.
Yeah, and even if we were to lose to Lyon, unless it's twos and threes, I still think we lost by one, game's still on when we go to their stadium.
Of course.
So yeah,
mate. Lesson for you, just quickly. Obviously, the Ajax game, I obviously talk about a lot. I don't speak about the first leg a lot. I turned to Dad 15 minutes into the Ajax game.
The first leg?
The first leg, and said, we need to get out of here with this now. He's like, we can't go there losing. I'm telling you. Because we went into that game, it's different circumstance, but we had no Son, no Kane. We knew at least Son was going to be back for the second leg and stuff. And it was like, stay in the fucking tyre. And sometimes you would have no plan to go into the Lyon game and lose 1-0 at home, right? But if you don't play well on the night, then like get out with the 1-0. Don't go 2-0 down. 2-0 looks big then, right? Get out with the 1-0 and go to the second leg. And I remember walking out the ground after the first leg being happy. Not because I thought we'd go to Ajax and win. I didn't. But I was happy that...
Reset.
There was still a game to look forward to next week and we had a chance, right?
Yeah,
whereas
reset button.
The way that first 20 minutes went that night, it was like, they're going to beat us 3-0 now. And this is, I'm going to Amsterdam next week for what? I don't even smoke weed. It's a waste of time.
Indeed, there we go. Patrons, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for all of your support and see you tomorrow.
Tell you what, if I was ever going to, it would have been that fucking night. Can't you, Spurs? Key music, please, man, child. Fantasy Football Show.